Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set pop.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
So where we left off last episode, we were anticipating potentially getting pre-sale codes from Ticketmaster to get tickets for Minyoongi's concert.
Yes.
We did not get pre-sale codes.
Neither of us.
But we did get tickets. The story's crazy. And we're going to talk about it. We are so excited to dive into it.
Yes.
We also today are going to be talking about On the Street, which we told you was coming out soon. And we could not wait a full 2 weeks to talk about it. We are here next Thursday talking about it right now.
Of course. We had to.
We have to.
My number one album, big shocker to me, also Folklore.
Whoa.
Are you ready to dive into all things Taylor Swift?
Good for a Weekend is the ultimate podcast for any Swiftie.
With new episodes dropping bi-monthly, as well as bonus episodes to give you real-time reactions to the latest rumors and news, it's your one-stop shop for all things T-Swift.
We also love connecting with our fellow Weekenders, so be sure to connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and or Discord to share all your Taylor thoughts.
Good for a Weekend is available wherever you get your podcasts.
I know.
Folklore just is... that. Like, it's a perfect album.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Stanning BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
Yeah, like we were saying today, we're going to talk about the Suga ticket sale processing. And then we're also going to talk about On the Street, J-Hope's new single with J. Cole.
But before we get into it, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts. This month's Iconic Hangout is next Monday, and we are going to be playing Wings Jeopardy. So join us.
Yes, join us for that. This is going to be so much fun. Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes, but any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you all for being here and for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Iconics. Also, happy Women's History Month, and hopefully you will support Trades of Hope this month, which is that great website and charity that connects women artisans all over the world to people who want to buy their amazing handcrafted goods. And what a great way to support women this month.
Yeah. And also get a little gift for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or someone else.
Yeah.
Or a woman you love.
Yeah.
That's a great,
oh my gosh,
great way to
celebrate
it too.
The women in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into the Suga ticket sales.
This whole thing.
Right, yeah, this is a story. Neither of us got the pre-sale code, which it seems like 40 to 50% of ARMYs who signed up for one did get one, but there was another like 50 to 60% of ARMYs who didn't.
Right.
And so it was really shocking for us. Like, we were in disbelief because we are so fortunate that we've always gotten a code up to this point. So I just couldn't believe it. When I saw my email and it said that I was on a wait list, I'm like, oh,
same.
My gosh.
I like, when I saw that I was waitlisted, I immediately thought, well, Bethany will definitely have it. Like, she'll have it for sure.
I've
She's always
gotten
it. Yeah. So the fact that you were waitlisted also, I just think is crazy.
Yeah.
It was super surprising. And it was like, okay, now we have to figure out something else
right.
to do. Yeah.
We felt pretty helpless because Ticketmaster made it very clear that ARMY presale, like if you have the membership, like that might be the only ticketing that happens. Like the verified fan and just like the general sales most likely aren't going to happen.
And even Big Hit had said that in their press releases too.
Yes.
So it was like we were hearing it from everybody that we should trust about that info. If we don't get it during presale, we're probably not going to get it.
So we're like, we have to figure out how we're going to get these tickets while we're not able to actively be a part of the ticketing process.
Oh my gosh.
So we had a lot of really wonderful, generous ARMYs who wanted to help us get tickets.
Yeah. Some iconic ARMYs.
Iconic ARMYs. Yeah. Yes. Iconic ARMYs. And we were pretty set on needing to go on May 6th because it's just like our schedules and how it was going to work out going to Rosemont. Like that was just how it was going to work best for us.
Mm-hmm.
So Melody, she's one of the iconics who reached out to us who was also trying for May 6th. And she said that she was going to try her best to get us tickets. And unfortunately, she wasn't able to get us tickets. Mm-hmm. And it just came down to, like, it was chaotic. I mean, it's all secondhand. Like, we don't know exactly what that ticketing process was like.
We only know from previous experience with Ticketmaster, which is that whenever you click on a ticket and you think you have them in your cart, then it says another fan has beaten you to it. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just that a million times until maybe you get lucky.
Yeah.
But also what's new about this experience that you and I haven't personally experienced before is the platinum pricing.
Yeah.
And that's what Melody was experiencing. So as the longer that it was taking her to find a ticket that was not already beaten by another fan, the more that prices were going up. Like, yeah. I don't think that Melody was able to get tickets for herself because tickets kept getting
more expensive
and more expensive.
Yeah,
and it's just so unfortunate that was happening to so many armies.
Mm-hmm. I heard of armies that they got it in their cart and they thought that they were paying a certain price, and then by the time they went to go check out, it was the money somehow like doubled.
That's crazy.
That's so ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that's criminal.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Ticketmaster is like being sued right now.
Right.
Right. Like, the Swifties took them to court. And I mean, this does need to be
investigated.
Yeah. It needs to be addressed because Ticketmaster like really has a monopoly on
all
this
concerts.
Types of concert. Yeah.
These massive concerts with arenas and stadiums.
A lot of these events, right. Arenas and stadiums that are being sold, they sell through Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. And if there's no other choice for the fan than but to buy through Ticketmaster, and then Ticketmaster makes the rules on how expensive the tickets are.
Right.
And the tickets go up depending on the amount of traffic on the website, which you're doing a pre-sale. Of course, there's going to be like crazy traffic on the site. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, it really is just a great way to pad the pockets of that company. And I mean, I truthfully don't know how much more money like Yoongi or Big Hit is making off of these inflated ticket prices. Like, I don't know if Ticketmaster makes that information public.
Probably not.
I would doubt that.
I don't know the specifics or details of that.
I know that artists can opt into not having platinum pricing. It's something they like have to opt out of using. And we were just discussing last week, like, I'm sure that they portray this pricing to artists in a way that makes them
want to do it.
It sounds like, oh, it's a win-win situation.
It's new to us. Surely it's new to them too. Mm-hmm. So there might not be a whole lot of knowledge around it.
Yeah. I really don't want to place blame on anyone besides Ticketmaster for this type of service
being enacted.
It's their system. And so it was just really unfortunate to see everybody all over social media talking about these prices, talking about not being able to get tickets because of the prices. Mm-hmm. And then seeing the tweets go out saying, like, even from Ticketmaster saying that these shows are sold out, completely sold out, but we know that there are tickets being resold on social media for thousands more dollars hundreds more dollars than what they were originally priced at. And it's all this resale market now, which is ultimately the route that we ended up going, as you and I were looking into StubHub. Because when we went to see Enhypen, we had two extra tickets to Enhypen that we ended up selling on StubHub.
Yep.
And so we felt pretty comfortable with it. And
we had done a lot of research because we wanted to resell our tickets in a very like ethical way, mm-hmm. and a way that like we felt that the tickets would get delivered to that person.
Right. You know, to an end gene not like with like increasing the price value.
Yeah.
And we had seen like some people on Twitter successfully use StubHub to buy their tickets that day from someone reselling them. So fortunately we were able to get those tickets. We did get some tickets on the level 200 of the arena. And our arena, the Allstate Arena, I think, in
Allstate,
Rosemont, is only 200. So it's a pretty, like, it's a smaller sized arena. And for transparency, we paid $288 per ticket after like taxes and fees that I'm sure we were paying Ticketmaster and StubHub taxes and fees at this point. Mm. It was $360 per ticket, which at that point we were more than happy to pay. More than happy just to be there.
I mean, we were desperate.
We were desperate.
Yeah, but not... not so desperate enough that we were, felt like we were going way over what we should be doing. Right. I mean, we did feel that, but we were like, honestly, with how expensive all of the tickets we're seeing,
it's worth it.
This is worth it. This because isn't as bad.
Tickets even on the same level, on the 200 level, were in the 500s. I even saw a ticket on that level for $1,000.
Yeah.
There was tickets in the 100 level that were like the lowest was like $708.
Yeah.
And then on the floor, everything was in the thousands, like at least $2,000 right. for a floor, which those floor tickets were originally going for like $400 or $500 or something like that. Yeah. And that's like...
It was like $450, $500.
Right. Yeah. Essentially, $100 more than what we ended up paying for our level 200 tickets. So we were paying a 220% price increase for our tickets.
Terrible.
Sounds crazy. I mean, when we're there, we're not even going to think about how much we paid because it's going to be incredible and we're going to have the best time. Mm-hmm. And everybody there is going to, and it's really not going to matter where we're at. Mm-hmm. But like just the fact that this happened to so many people, this mm-hmm. price increase, this insane amount, or people not being able to go because they can't, they've got priced out.
Or, okay, think about the armies who bought extra tickets for other armies, but had to pay that like really ridiculous price for right. it. And then now they're not able to resell their tickets because, right. or get their money back because they spent so much on it.
Oh, we had so many people in our DMs who said, hey, this is my friend. She's an army, like I'll vouch for her, whatever. But their tickets were like $2,800 for one ticket or something like that, which is
$1,400 easily. Yeah.
I mean,
and we're so, like, oh my gosh, no, we cannot.
We can't do that. Yeah. No. So it was, we feel really fortunate that we got the tickets we did for the price we did. Like there were definitely way more inflated prices. I feel like the person we got them from is army who was just trying to make back what they got or, you know, and thankfully it wasn't too crazy, but
I will say StubHub is a pretty reliable site. So whenever I did purchase it on StubHub, we got our tickets transferred to my Ticketmaster. Like it popped up in my Ticketmaster almost right away. And I thought, okay, this is legit. So I know that a lot of armies were hesitant about buying resale tickets from a third party site. But truthfully, StubHub is pretty reliable. Yeah. I would stand behind StubHub, I guess.
Ticketmaster is not doing us any services. You know, Ticketmaster is not helping us out at all. Like, fuck that. You know, use StubHub. Who cares? Like, it's propaganda that, like, StubHub is not going to work out for us. Yeah. Like, it's working.
People think that they're going to, like, get ripped off or that it's, like, not going to work or something, which is so understandable. And I'm just grateful that we had the Enhypen ticketing process that we felt more confident going into this ticket. I mean, this was like the backup of backup of backups. Like we went on a hike together and we were both really sad.
Oh my God,
and
I cried so
Kayla,
hard.
You cried and I was just like, what's our next move? What, we have to be
and
there.
I don't
we
cry
have to
often,
be there.
Right? So when I do, I'm sure you're like, what the fuck do I do? Because like, I really don't cry like that. Yeah. But so it was tough.
I mean, we're out on this hike and I'm like pulling up StubHub.
maybe that's an option.
But we had kind of gotten to this point of accepting that we would maybe just have to be on the other side of not going to a concert because there's so many armies who don't get to go to BTS concerts or these solo concerts that we're having now.
We were like, we'll watch through Twitter videos and we'll hear from it from Iconics. Like we were so happy to hear about all of the Iconics that got tickets
managed
and that were going.
Tickets,
I mean, initially we saw so many of you guys that got pre-sale codes, that got in, that got tickets, even like got tickets that weren't like crazy inflated too. Like amazing.
Like face value. Yeah.
Face value. Just awesome. We're so excited for you guys. Even in the midst of us being like worried if we would get tickets or not. We were like, okay, which Iconics can we have on the podcast to tell the story?
Yeah,
of this
we're
concert.
Like, do we just have them on? Like, we just don't even have a show for ourselves. Like, we just have someone else on.
Yeah. It was ultimate pity party there for a moment. But, you know, we made it work and we have tickets and we are going to the May 6th concert in Rosemont. So, Iconics who are going, like, let's meet up.
Yeah, we'll have to plan something.
Yeah. I am so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and get into On the Street. So this is a single that J-Hope just put out. So it was announced that he was going to be starting the process for the mandatory military service. And later that day of that announcement, he ended up announcing that he has a single, On the Street, that was going to be released on March 3rd. So there was a lot of like whiplash there because we're like, oh right. No, Hobie's the next one going. And then like, I don't know, 4 or 6 hours later, it's like Hope on or On the Street. I keep wanting to say Hope on the Street because I've always called it that. So the single acts as this heartfelt message and gift to Army and BTS before he enters military service. It's really intended as a meaningful gift. And for J-Hope, it's to everyone who supports him as an artist.
Yeah. I just feel like he announced it at the perfect time. Like, he let us be a little bit sad for a minute about him officially announcing his enlistment. And then, you know, but here's On the Street.
This is my own here's little theory on J-Hope. You know how like Minyoongi saved 2020? Uh-huh. Like, I felt like he saved 2020 with like D2 and all that. I feel that J-Hope has really saved ARMY during all of this like military enlistment stuff. I mean, of course, we're getting all of the solo albums, but I feel like when BTS went on their indefinite break, it was like Jack in the Box, Hobie Palooza. Yeah. Like, I literally coped with the news of BTS like going on this break by buying Hobie Palooza tickets.
Right. I mean, he has been carrying us through chapter two so far.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's very fair to say.
Yeah.
Constantly giving us like the hope and the support and the love and the incredible music and content whenever we need it.
Yeah,
for sure.
So On the Street, the title directly calls back to Hope on the Street, which is a freestyle dance series that J-Hope has been doing since the start of BTS. On the Street's title refers to J-Hope's roots in the street dance and symbolizes the path he, quote, will continue to walk together with his fans. So per a press release from Big Hit, the, quote, street motif can also be interpreted as a metaphor for life, as it is a place where many people's everyday lives pass by.
Yeah, which I feel like he uses that street motif a lot. Like, you and I were talking about that when we were watching the music video earlier, just that J-Hope is on the street quite often here, like in Arson and in Ego with the street signs.
Oh,
and
then
even thinking about his early dance videos and even what he still sometimes will release with his Hope on the Street videos. And so this metaphor for life is like he's showing us his life in so many ways of his as he's on the street. And so I love that, especially the video as they bring it to life, because you can kind of see like people's lives passing by in the street as he's delivering the song.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You even see that in Rush Hour. I should think about Rush Hour too.
Totally. Oh my gosh. So when the teaser for this song came out, we learned that it features J. Cole, who is definitely J-Hope's rap idol and lifelong favorite rapper. The reveal in the teaser is so, so cool because you see J-Hope kind of walking up and you don't even really realize that there's someone behind him until he turns a quarter turn out of the way to stand next to them. And you can see that it's J. Cole. So freaking awesome, because when they just announced the song, they didn't announce it was featuring anyone. So with the teaser, it was that surprise. And I'm a huge J. Cole fan. I'm sure I've mentioned it on the podcast.
Yes, you are.
But both my husband and I, we really love J. Cole. Feel like we rank our favorite like American rappers, like Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole. They're like the top two, always up there, always battling for first. And I think that he's an incredible rapper. And I love that J-Hope has always been a fan of him and sees him as this idol, because I think that J. Cole's lyricism is like really next level. And I think that that's something that J-Hope must really appreciate about his lyrics and his rap. So it was cool. It was cool to see that he's featuring here in this song, his idol with him on
of
his
course.
Last song before he enlists now.
Oh, yeah.
makes such a statement.
It makes such a statement.
It makes me think about Jin collabing with Coldplay, you know, like his favorite group right before he enlists. Like, that is such a cool thing to be able to do there.
I mean, there's countless callbacks for J-Hope giving shout outs to J. Cole. I mean, even J-Hope's name, Hope World, Cole World, like there's just so many parallels. He's his major idol, and it's just incredible that he was able to have him feature on this last single before he enters military service. Yeah. Like, it just feels like the perfect way to wrap up his kind of, not his career, but wrap up this part of his career before he goes on this long indefinite kind of like break here.
Right.
Because of military service. Yeah.
Definitely. J-Hope has been a fan of J. Cole for many, many years. When he met him at Lollapalooza, we saw this in the Jack in the Box documentary, but he mentioned J. Cole's 2010 mixtape, Friday Night Lights. And J. Cole was like, wow, like he was really taken aback by it, the fact that he's mentioning something that's that old. So he's kept up with him since then. Just a little bit of background on J. Cole, if you're not familiar. He is a critically acclaimed American rapper from North Carolina. He's won a Grammy for Best Rap Song. He's won a Billboard Music Award for Top Rap Album. And he's really well known for having the first rap album in history go platinum with no features. And that's his 2014 Forest Hill Drives album. That's one of my, I mean, top three favorite albums of his, probably top two. It's so freaking good. And it's like, in rap, it's super common to have a feature. It's like every single album has multiple features. Rap is a really collaborative art style.
Yeah.
And so J. Cole, to have multiple albums with no features and for one of them to go platinum, just shows how great his music is. He did not need a feature of another artist to bring more attention or more streams or, you know, more eyes to this album. It did it on its own.
Right.
So he's a really iconic rapper. He is like one of the greats, and it is like such, I mean, J-Hope knows, it's such an honor for him to be here on this song. Incredible. Also, just want to mention here, because he did, like, he's known for really not having features on his own album. In the past, J. Cole has been really known for not doing features.
Yeah.
Like, he really does. It's only been in the past few years that he started to feature on other people's music. So the fact that it's the timing of this too. The fact that this is happening now, that this didn't happen 2 years ago, pre-pandemic, when they were thinking about enlisting back in 2018, it's happening now. Like, this collab may not have happened back then.
Yeah.
But the fact that J. Cole is doing features with people now, and he goes wholeheartedly into his features, as we'll really discuss later.
Yeah. But it sounds like he's really very selective with it too.
He's very selective.
He's not just featuring on anyone.
Oh yeah.
Didn't you mention something about him like bringing light to certain rappers too?
Yeah.
Like, he's done that.
He has his own record label, Dreamville, and he does these albums called Revenge of the Dreamers. So far, there's three of them. And on these, he'll have like ciphers and even like full songs from different rappers that like he's bringing into his label, that he's like really wants them to be on the come up, that he's like, wow, this is someone who has really great talent. And so like Jordan has become a fan of many different rappers that are like lesser known, but they have great rap just through those albums and through J. Cole. So it's awesome. He really uplifts
It sounds like style. It. So I'll be curious to see, like, as of now when we're recording, there's not a whole lot of behind the scenes of like the production and the collaboration that's gone on between these two. But I would imagine that just J-Hope sharing his story of like how J. Cole has really inspired him, and that he's listened to his, I'm sure he shared with him like how he's listened to his music and how a lot of what he's done with his own music has stemmed from inspiration of J. Cole's music. And I could see J. Cole being like, I want to collaborate with you. Like, I'm more than happy to, you know, just to support and uplift J-Hope's career too.
Right. I think that like,
and how important, like, clearly this is so important and valuable. It's so valuable.
J. Cole sees
it's like,
that.
He has to see how much of a statement this is for J-Hope to be like, I'm about to go into military service and I'm going to have my biggest idol collab here. Like, I mean, all the parallels, you know, with like the J-Hope, the Hope World, like I just can't get past that.
Yeah, totally.
And clearly J. Cole sees that and sees the value. And I just love that he was so willing to be on this song.
Yeah, that he chose to collab. Amazing. Yeah. So So let's get into the song itself. Let's talk about the vibe and production of it a little bit.
Yeah, so it was written by J Hope, J Cole, and P Dog, who also helped produce. So On the Street is a lo-fi hip-hop track with elements of boom bap mixed with a catchy whistle hook. And it has an easy listening melody. And I would say that whistle is very prominent in this song. It is the most standout part of the song. It is, this whistle is just so comforting to me. It's like a lullaby. It's something that your mom would whistle to you or whistle in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, it just has this like homey feel. It feels like you're just like, you feel safe.
It feels cheerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's definitely all throughout the song. It's the part of the song that like gets stuck in your head. That's like, man, I want to push play again. Mm-hmm. And I also hear like it comes in at the beginning in the first verse and in the end, like last chorus, the kind of record scratching in the background. I love that. That like classic hip hop style there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Throughout. Yeah. Yeah. J. Cole's harmonies and vocals at the end of the song, I feel like really adds to this serenity and peacefulness to the end of the song, and conclusive too there at the end. Yeah. Just to kind of hear him sing these harmonies with J-Hope's verse.
I love both of chorus. Them. Yeah, J-Hope's chorus and J. Cole harmonizing together, both of them coming together at the end. Very cool effect. Yeah. And surprised to hear J. Cole harmonize like that too. It was really lovely.
Yeah. Overall, it's very heartfelt and hopeful. It evokes a lot of emotion, and you feel this sense of gratitude too. Yeah. You feel the gratitude from J-Hope. You feel like this hope that everything's going to carry on just fine. Yeah, I've cried way more to this song than I ever thought I would. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I did not think. I mean, the first time watching through, I was so emotional. I was like texting you at 5 a.m. after watching it, like, I am so emotional. Like, I can't believe what this song did to me just, you know, instantly.
It's because, like, the astronaut all over again. I know. Stop.
But you feel that from J-Hope. And that was totally his intention of, he wanted to leave us with this incredibly loving, hopeful, like positive, warm song from him. Yeah. You know, like the last bit of thing from him before his enlistment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he achieved that for sure. Yeah. We feel it.
So let's go ahead and get into the lyrics. So for the chorus, I just want to read the chorus and we'll talk. We'll give our thoughts. Mm-hmm. He says, every time I walk, every time I run, every time I move, it's always for us. Every time I look, every time I love, every time I hope, it's always for us. I'm on the street still. And we really latched on to the use of us here and all that us represents. We feel like us can represent so many things, like immediately feeling like us represents BTS and ARMY. Like the moves that he's making as he's working and planning his future, you know, those are the decisions that he's making for BTS or the decisions that he's making for ARMY. And he's thinking about who is idolizing him and having us in mind as he's resting, as he's working, you know?
Yeah.
I just love the idea of this us here and everything, even widening that to the us of the company or the us of the Korean culture that he represents wherever he goes. And, you know, I mean, so many different things, but it really feels intimate. It feels like the intimate us of BTS and ARMY.
Yeah. And I just also love that it includes himself. Mm-hmm. Us, him, he's included in that picture too.
Right. Yeah. It's not for you.
It's not for you. Mm-hmm. Right. It's for us. Yeah. All together.
Yeah. He's including himself in that. I love that.
Yeah. There's a lot of really significant words, I feel, in this chorus. Like you were saying, the use of us, but also the use of run. You think of Run BTS, the song, the TV show, the run the song. It's very much a BTS phrase of them saying that's them working hard, like diligently.
Right.
The use of hope. I mean, hope is in his name. J-Hope, he's talked about how much he wants to embody hope, how seriously he takes being that hopeful light for the members, but also like a part of his personality, like something he lives by. And then also to repeat over and over every time He says every time. Yeah. And it's just truly in every moment, mm-hmm. even when he's resting, he is showing how we are all in his thoughts. You right. know, everything he does right. is for us.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The every time.
Yeah. Overall, just like thinking about how mindful he is of others, I'm just feeling how grateful I am for him and amazed who he is as a person. Like mm-hmm. When we were researching, I really came to this conclusion of just like, J-Hope is so selfless mm-hmm. and doesn't have a whole lot of resentment mm-hmm. and that he just seems to be able to like go with the flow so well. And whether he's working really hard or taking the time to rest, like I just feel like he is so grounded all yeah. the time. Like he's just such a well-rounded individual.
Yeah. We have wondered so much in the past, like how BTS can possibly grasp this situation that they're in and deal with the level of stardom that they have and all of the responsibilities that they have and how hard that must be and how really no one has been in their position here. Like people mm-hmm. have been in similar situations for sure, but their unique situation, no one has experienced. And so it would be hard for them to really get advice from someone that can truthfully resonate with them.
Yeah.
And so how does J-Hope, who's also been through it all, you know, but he seems like he's so well adjusted to yeah. it. Like you said, grounded. He's just able to roll with the punches and able to come out of it thinking positively and thinking hopefully about what's coming up next. Yeah. It seems like he's able to spin any situation into something that he can find hope in.
Yeah. Yeah. A positive one, yeah. or at least like he can overcome it. I don't know. He can really overcome it. Yeah. That's what I find so inspiring about him. It's just like his character. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like there's many people like that, you mm-hmm. know?
Oh yeah.
He's so special.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So let's go ahead and talk about his first verse here.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and just read his verse. He says, "My 2 feet walk willingly anywhere, J in the air. For the path I'm on to became one of hope. I gave my all. Even my walk was made of your love and your faith to repay you even from afar, just like a butterfly. Now just walk lightly wherever you want. Go on hopefully wherever you walk. In these streets, imbued with someone's breath, I leave my soul and my eternity. Everywhere I'll be."
Wow, it's so good.
It's a send-off message. Mm-hmm. Like these are his last pieces of advice and just themes he wants to share with ARMY before he goes into military service.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's what I'm leaving you with. Here's mm-hmm. what I want you to think on and ponder for the next 18 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The line that really stands out to me is when he says, "My 2 feet walk willingly anywhere." Feels like that's just really him embodying hope mm-hmm. and that even through the really tough times or whatever he was asked to do, it seemed like he was very willingly to go through it, like, it, you know, on his own will.
And it's his choice.
That's something that ARMY thinks a lot about. It's mm-hmm. like, what is BTS made to do? What are they told they essentially have to do? Mm-hmm. And it just seems like he's so committed to who he is and to the group and to ARMY. He's so dedicated that, like, he's willingly doing a lot of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know.
To go anywhere.
That's comforting to me.
Yeah.
J in the air, we think is just so great because obviously Jungho Sock, J-Hope, Jay, if you will, but also J. Cole.
Yeah. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that moment too. A line that stuck out to me was the "just like a butterfly" line. Now just, or to repay you even from afar, just like a butterfly, which is like, you know, I always think about butterflies being like spirits of like loved ones that visit you.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a very strong belief in my family of that being a thing. Like I witnessed it, experienced it a lot growing up. I've experienced it in like adulthood where I just have such a strong sense of this is my grandpa and he's mm-hmm. here with me when I really needed this comfort right now. And so just this butterfly, like J-Hope in spirit coming to us to comfort us, you know, to repay us from afar mm-hmm. for all of the love and faith that yeah. we've given him. And it's just another comforting thing of like, even when he is enlisted and, right. you know, he's even further away, you know, just to kind of think about that. He can come to us, totally. You know, figuratively.
It has such a spiritual meaning mm-hmm. to it, you know, mm-hmm. and I do feel like that's the intention of using the word butterfly here.
Mm-hmm. Makes me think of butterfly, H-Y-Y-H.
H-Y-Y-H, of course.
Always, the queen.
Yeah. But that we can still feel connected with him, yeah. you know, even from afar.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
What the butterfly really is. Yeah. The second half of the verse, like all of it, is really just his last words of wisdom for us mm-hmm. and how he wants us to live in his absence. Yeah. And so the terms like walk lightly, that piece of advice just like really hit me hard. It mm-hmm. hit me so hard. This is the part of research where I just started weirdly bawling my eyes out, Kayla. I'm so sorry. I couldn't stop crying. I was crying a lot though. Mm-hmm. Like the tears are just coming, and it's because as such an anxious person who lives in a state of constant worry and fear that I just like always want to be trying to get out of mm-hmm. this, like so simply stated piece of advice of walk lightly made me feel like walk without worry. Mm-hmm. Like everything's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't, not everything has to be the end of the world, mm-hmm. you know? Take it lightly and yeah. keep moving, mm-hmm. right? Walk lightly. Mm-hmm. And I just
don't be weighed down by the worry.
Right.
Yeah. He's inspiring you to do that.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And to just keep going on, hopefully wherever. I think that's just, when I think of hope, obviously I think of just like positively and optimistically for the future, and worry and concern can so rip that away.
Is hope the opposite of worry?
Potentially, yeah. That's kind of like where I'm at right now.
Yeah,
like
should
just
we
talking through
be
it.
Actively hoping when we are in the most worry? Mm-hmm. It's probably the time that hope is the hardest to find.
Yeah.
Is when we are experiencing the most worry.
It just shows that J-Hope really has embodied hope. Mm-hmm. Like he really knows what it means mm-hmm. to be hopeful.
And he definitely knows what it means to worry. He spoke about it in the past, in his music before.
Go listen to What If.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So I
it's just a great piece of advice.
It's an amazing
like
piece of
I
advice.
Feel like for
a
him for his message to be in this song, other than like obviously like thinking of us, that everything he's done for us, like his gratitude. Mm-hmm. But like his last little piece of advice for Army is don't like walk lightly, to keep going mm-hmm. and to have hope.
Yeah. Love it.
Perfect.
Walk lightly.
Right.
Go on hopefully. And I love that he ends it with everywhere I'll be, because it was just like, again, hearkening back to like that butterfly, the spiritual visiting, you know, like mm-hmm. he'll be with us and, you know, we can always think of each other during this time
right.
of separation. Such a comfort.
It is.
So let's go ahead and get into J. Cole's verse. And like I said earlier, like J. Cole, he is like, he does not do a lot of features, but when he does a feature, he really goes in on it. Like he spends his time making sure that this is like an incredible verse that he's contributing here. This is a really long verse.
It's so long. It's He's like the majority half the of a song.
Yeah. I would say like generously half the song, you know, it really feels like he comes in and he just takes over the song here for him. I mean, I'm living for it. I think it
Me too. Works.
It's so amazing.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So in his first stanza, I'm not going to read all of his verse because his verse is so long.
Yeah.
And you can hear it. It's in English, but just to break it down a little bit, in the first one where he's talking about all hail the mighty survivor of hell, this is like talking about, it's reminding me of his origin story, you know, like he grew up with a single mom, North Carolina, like it wasn't always the best, like sometimes money tight, like not always the best situations, but he got out of that. He went to college. He had a lot of regret for like leaving his mom when he was in college, you know, and just kind of like battling with that. And so, and then he had to come up throughout the music industry and like put his rap out there and make a name for himself. And so I feel like he's really talking and expressing about the struggle of his origin story at the beginning. And he's talking about selling his holy water, which is like his music, his lyrics, anything that he can get that he knows people are just eating up, drinking up, loving. And already here in his verse, we're getting like religious themes, like immediately at the beginning.
Yeah, he really depicts his origin story with using these religious terms. So when I first started hearing his verse, I was like, oh, there, you know, there's like religious elements to this.
Yeah.
Which is intentional on his part for what he wants to say.
Yeah.
So later on in his verse, he kind of starts to correlate or talk about how his music intentions at some point did start to become motivated by money, is what it seems like. But also that selling his lyrics like couldn't be beat, that like he's basically saying that no one could do it better than him. Like he's kind of hyping himself up here, which he so deserves to be able to do this because he does write such profound lyrics that really speak to so many people. And so he knows his place in the industry. Right. So this is his moment to be like, I'm a big name.
Yeah. And like what you said earlier, he can be choosy. He's choosy with what he collaborates on and what deals he decides to go with. He goes in, his next part of his verse is where he gets more into the religious themes, because he says that he has a friend who's smart as fuck, but stupid as hell, and goes into talking about how he's so stupid because he doesn't believe that God is real. And J. Cole is like, as if the universe is not enough evidence for you, as if volcanoes can't erupt, as if birds don't chirp, as if a trillion nerves don't work in the human body. Like, and then I just to continue, shit, who would I be if without the creator of this theater beside me to gently guide me? It is just such a, I mean, this is really where his verse is like, oh dang, like pop the fuck off, J. Cole. I just love that he shares his personal belief in God here through observance of the world and the universe as like, this is the only evidence that you need. Just look around you and the experience, because that's personally how like I've also connected to a belief in God. Like I grew up very religious, going to church every week, you know, my parents relate every single thing back to God. And like I think going to church is a great way to connect with the community if that's your desire and that's your goal, but that never really made me feel connected to God as like a spiritual being, you know. And where I've most felt connected to God or like had like that like, wow, like this is really real. Like this is not something that could just come from nothing. Like there's too many things that point to a higher power, was when I'm out in nature and when I'm like really observing the world around us and all of the beauty in it and all of the miracles in just the existence of what we have here. And so I just love that he's framing it this way.
And I think you're not alone in that. A lot of people feel a sense of spirituality when they're immersed in nature because of the complexity of this world that we live in. You know, I found it to be interesting that he kind of used this route of like, hey, my friend doesn't believe in God because he can't see it for himself. Like there's no proof of it. And for him to be like, look at the complexity and beauty of this world, like this natural world that we live in, there's more, there's something greater.
Right.
You know, how could you not think that when you think about like, I really resonated with the complexity of just like a trillion nerves in the human body don't work. Like yeah, like the human body is amazing. Right. Like it's so complex. How do we have these nerves that we can, you know, our muscles can move by our brain telling it to move, and like our senses.
It shouldn't work.
And, yeah. Like
you don't believe in
so
God, look in the mirror.
Complex, you mm-hmm. know, like when you get down to that like cellular level, but then you can think as grand as the universe, you know, and how just like, I'm getting chills thinking about it. But, you know, like, I just felt like that was a different perspective, you know, and great for him to share it in this way, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to share it. And I love that, like, it's here on a J-Hope song.
Right.
Like, J-Hope, who is, like, super hopeful, but I don't feel like really he's talked a lot about God, you know. I feel like we kind of have a feeling that he believes in higher power, but like it's not something that he's really gone into, you know.
So I'm sure he was just grateful that you know, J. Cole was sharing what was on his chest, mm-hmm. what he wanted to rap about,
right? And I think it's a great, really, really great verse. Mm-hmm. It made me think like of Namjoon also, like, because he's really questioned like God, and he's like agnostic, doesn't know if God exists, yet he loves nature. He loves, you know, like he's fascinated by the world, and like Namjooning has become like Army's favorite pastime because of his encouragement to get out and explore, and where that's like where many people really feel most connected with God, mm-hmm. Namjoon is still questioning. And so I hope Namjoon hears this verse and is like,
We need a response verse. That's what we need. So then we can hear Namjoon's take on it.
Right. Where he'll be like, just because the water flows does not mean that. Right. He'll like give some hella deep, like philosophical shit. Yeah. That he wrote while sitting next to the Han River.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just thought that was interesting, especially with him being like so close to J Hope and this being on J Hope's song.
But there at the end of J. Cole's verse, here, he says like, well, I guess this isn't the end of the verse, but the end of this part of where he's discussing stanza of talking about God. He acknowledges God for creating who he is and like gently guiding him in life. But also here he starts to mention that he's questioning if he should pick a different hobby. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of infer this as like, should he start to move away from rap?
Right. Because I mean, this is something that we've talked so many times about, like BTS wanting to like think about, am I moving on from what I'm doing? Do I still want this or not? Or I've brought up a time or two, like how Kendrick has like wanted to step away from mm-hmm. being at the forefront of the rap scene. And
now, Namjoon wants to.
Namjoon wants to. Yeah.
He wants like, to be a human.
Right.
Be a human first.
Right. He wants to be a human before he
creates
some
more art.
Yeah. And then like J. Cole, you mentioned earlier how he does like the Revenge of the Dreamers and he has his own record label. So maybe he wants to be more in that arena and being, you know, searching for talent and bringing them up and fostering those careers, you know, instead of him at the forefront. And
taking on more of being a role at the label.
Right.
Helping inspiring artists or aspiring artists. Oh my gosh.
Apparently his next album is his last album. So
this
really must be a question on his mind here. So it's cool that he's rapping about it here.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes into the next stanza to like kind of think about that more.
Uh-huh.
And it seems like for now he's like, I might stay with where I'm at. He talks about that rap is pretty much all that he knows and that it's hard to let go. And then he relates it to this analogy, like a father watching his daughter walk down the altar. You got to let her grow. And I love how in the music video during this line, like when he's pausing in the verse, he kind of has this like faraway look in his eyes before he says, you got to let her grow. It's like, he kind of really thinks and it's really reflecting back on like that whole lifetime that he grew up with her, and then realizing you got to let her go. And so I feel like he's relating this to his music career and growing into that next chapter and being really proud of what he's created and what he's raised up in his career, mm-hmm. but knowing that he might have to let that go
or change roles a little bit, not so much like letting go of it. Cause you know, even when your daughter gets married, she's still in your life. She's still a part, but you're just no longer that. I mean, you're still that father figure, right. but you're just less of that because she's fully grown at this point. So right. I feel like rap and music will still always be in his life. Mm-hmm. He's just maybe not directly rapping and creating music
or doing it as his like main thing. Right. You know, it might just be every once in a while, you know, just like a dad steps in every once in a while, you know. And he yeah. also has a daughter in real life, so I'm sure that this line he's also thinking forward to when he actually has that moment with her.
Yeah.
It's really powerful. So yeah.
Yeah. But then at the very last bit of his verse, he kind of backpedals a little bit because now he's really imagining like what it would be like to like kind of move on or move past rap, you mm-hmm. know, onto something else. But then he ends up saying this line of, as the moon jumps over the cow, like this very reversed contraindicating of like wanting to move away from the rap scene, but also like he has this greed and hunger for mm-hmm. achievement. Mm-hmm. So he is like, it's a little backwards, you know, here, like I'm kind of contradicting myself, but like he ends up saying the more I eat, the more I get stronger.
Right.
And so he does have that hunger for more. And we feel like that so strongly connects to how J-Hope feels mm-hmm. too. Like J-Hope so strongly talks about his hunger for achievement during Jack in the Box when the discussion that he has in More and yep. Arson. Like yep. Arson where he's like, I'm straight up burnt out. I can't do anymore. I'm burnt to the ground. But yet like he still wants more. He still could continue with it, you know? So... Mm-hmm. So clearly these two both have this in common where they both have a hunger for more and feel conflicted about it because it is exhausting, but they still desire to keep putting out music and keep working hard.
Yeah. Just thinking about that and thinking about how they both share this desire that J. Cole is rapping about, it really makes me want more behind the scenes of how this was put together, the communication between them, and just because I feel like J. Cole being J. Hope's just idol, mm-hmm. that so much of J. Cole's verse here could speak to J. Hope and to speak to like wisdom that J. Hope was seeking, or even just like themes that J. Hope was wanting represented in this song. I'm just curious as to
what those conversations were like. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I see so much of this and thinking like, wow, this really must mean so much to J. Hope to like hear these words from him
mm-hmm.
and to know that it's here on this song. And then here at the end of his verse, oh my god, fucking yes. iconic. He says J-Hope Cole World iconic.
Yeah, that amazing. Is iconic. Yeah,
like he always says Cole World every single song. For him to like call out J-Hope and then call out himself, incredible. Like I feel like J-Hope must have cried the first time that he heard that. Yeah. He must have just been like in utter shock.
He probably's like everything's complete. Like yes. everything has been done.
Right. Right. Like my name is next to his name in a song. He said it. Life complete.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Totally. Totally. Also Hope World, like you mentioned earlier.
Hope World.
Cole World, Hope World. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Loved it. Love the whole lyrics so, so much. And I feel like the music video goes along with the lyrics and the vibe of yeah. the song really well as well.
Yeah. So we're going to just briefly talk about the music video here. Just some key moments for discussion that we really found to stick out in the music video is at the very beginning, we have this kid with J-Hope in the streets of New York City here. And this kid, I feel like it's very important to note that he has headphones in. And he goes up to J-Hope and they have this informal handshake together. And they even kind of high five. We think that it's really representative of the kid looking up to J-Hope. You know, he looks up to him. J-Hope is kind of like his idol, his hero. You know, he's yeah. like, I want to be like you.
Totally.
And I just feel like the headphones are significant because of just the connection of music. You know, it seems like he's listening to music and potentially he's being inspired by J-Hope's music that he puts out.
Definitely. Definitely. Also, just where this music video starts is the same setting as one of J. Cole's music videos, his Simba music video, which is like, oh my gosh, I 2007
is when it came out.
Oh my gosh, crazy. So like J-Hope like knew that setting and was like, I want my video with J. Cole to be there. Very cool. So it's a street in Brooklyn. And later on in the video, also we see the Manhattan Bridge in the background. So just a really cool cityscape that we see for the setting here. A
lot of deep thought on J-Hope's part, which, you know, he always pays attention to these details.
Every detail.
So neat that he came up with the idea of shooting the music video in Brooklyn here. You see him freestyle dancing during the chorus in the middle of the street. We just feel like that is so true to who J-Hope is and his origin story. And of course, with this, we ended up getting some choreography and a dance challenge, which is just so wonderful. Like, we really should learn the choreography, because J-Hope even put out like this little infograph of like how to do the dance moves. It's just great to have like a little infograph on it. But also we see him doing like the TikTok challenges too, where you can see him doing it with Jimin and Yoongi. So we have like the G-Hope and Soap, which is like some of our favorite J-Hope ships, honestly, at this
point. And the Soap one was at the same place where the Jack in the Box launch party was. So
Oh my god, was it really? See, I hadn't even thought about that.
I just felt like that was significant.
Yeah, that is.
I love that for J-Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like,
maybe it's because Yoongi couldn't have, he wasn't able to attend. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so I love to see that too. And the TikTok dance, like J-Hope did the dance with some TXT members also. There's a couple other like groups that have done the dance too. And there's a ton of ARMY who are doing the dance obviously too. And I saw that like J-Hope through BTS's TikTok account commented on an ARMY's TikTok. Like this, he said, love you. Like to like in response to her dance. Like, I just think it's amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, the choreo is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's super fun. Also, later on in the video, we see J-Hope freestyle dancing in the subway station. We see him kind of like walk underground. He puts his hood up and it's perfect. It's like at the same time of J. Cole's verse. J. Cole is like delivering it from the rooftop and J-Hope is like literally underground in the subway station freestyle dancing. It also immediately made me think of the Danger video where BTS is dancing in the subway station.
Oh, yeah.
It just took me right back.
It took me there too. Like whenever J-Hope's getting ready to like do his dance during J. Cole's verse, I'm just like, yo, Danger. Like I immediately started like singing Danger in my head. That's how much
the same shot.
It's so reminiscent.
Yeah, so much so.
Yeah. But as the music video goes on, we see J-Hope comes out of the subway station and goes up to the rooftop to meet J. Cole. And there we see these two shake hands and embrace one another. And it's really this full circle moment in the music video. And you get this, like, it's the exact same shot of like the kid with J-Hope at the beginning, but now we have J-Hope with J. Cole, which we know that J. Cole has always been J-Hope's inspiration, and so like he's always looked up to him, and here he is, like they're both like really big names in the industry. So we just love that that full circle moment, you know, at the it's start, like, and the end.
It's like J-Hope, who was that kid who was looking up to his you know, his idol, is now meeting his idol here on the rooftop.
Yeah, even making his way up from the subway, right? Like he was
the significance
in the underground dance scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Literally, and where he started in the underground dance scene with Neuron, you know, doing that and street dancing to get his start all the way up to rooftops with J. Cole. J-Hope! How are you? So incredible.
What beautiful imagery. He is a visionary. We have learned that, especially with Hope in the Box. I keep forgetting the name of the documentary. Is it Hope in the Box?
Yeah, I think so. J-Hope in the Box? I think
J-Hope
so.
In the Box?
Okay.
I can't remember now.
Yeah, it's so like hard because I just want to call it Jack in the Box.
I know. Yeah. I know.
But really seeing all of his attention to detail in that just reframes for me how much attention he puts into each one of these little projects. Like for this whole work of On the Street, you can see the details and what he felt like was important to show. And I feel like way back when we always used to say like everything means something with BTS, like when it comes to J. Cole or J. Hope, everything means something.
It's always meaningful. It's always intentional.
Yeah.
He thinks it through so much. Oh, yeah.
I loved it. I love it on the Street. I'm playing replay every single day, just listening to it.
I mean, what a gift. We had Jack in the Box. So like, I honestly, it's not like I didn't think anything of it. I was excited for it, but it just ended up being this like ultra special song. And it brings tears to my eyes. It feels so hopeful. It's a warm embrace. It's a terrific song. Yeah. And like, honestly, he blew me away once again. Yeah. How does he keep doing it?
Yeah.
J-Hope.
Great vibes from J-Hope. Incredible feature from J. Cole.
Right.
What probably a lifetime goal of J-Hope to have this collab here.
This is going out with a bang right here.
Incredible. Yeah. So proud of him, so happy for him, and so grateful for this song. Like, such a surprise. We were not expecting to get anything else from him before Enlistment. So we loved it. We hope that you guys loved it too. And please let us know what you think about our thoughts on the song itself. Let us know what you think about this episode. You can always reach out to us on email or social DM. And we do want to say a special thanks to our Patreon supporters, especially our VIP Iconics: Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, Holly, and Sophia. Thank you guys so, so much for all of your support.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you all next Monday at the Iconic Hangout.
Yeah. We're so looking forward to it.
Yeah. Anyways, we love you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.